Okay, when Samach Tes Amid Aleph in Ksubis 69A1. Okay, this is just a continuation. The Gemara was talking before about there's dowry, remember, to get married, and the sustenance. So the Gemara was discussing before, and that we finished the Gemara, that Ravuna said, Parnasa is not like a condition of the Ksuba. And the Gemara tried figuring out what it meant. So the Gemara's final conclusion is that if a guy says, don't give dowry to my children, okay, then you don't, If he says, don't sustain my daughters from the estate, then you don't listen to him, because that's part of the Ksuba. Well, therefore, he has to sustain his daughters even after he dies. But to give dowry, you don't necessarily have to do it. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. Tolu le'rav, this is interesting. Samach Tes Amir Aleph. All the way on top of the page. Tolu le'rav le'rebi b'nechita. Rav wrote Rebbe. Rav was a student of Rabbi Yudan Nasi. Rav wrote him a letter. So in between the lines, he wrote him a halachic question. You know, he had a regular letter that he wrote stam, whatever. And then in between the lines, the Gemara says, Tolele Rav Rebbe, Rav suspended the following question, Bein Echita, between the lines that he sent to a letter to Rebbe. And he says, O Achad Sheshibdu Mahum, brothers, and we'll see exactly what this means, that encumbered, okay? In other words, basically, they either sold the properties or pledged the properties. Okay? Brothers inherited land from the parents, from the father. Okay, now the brothers owed money. So they either sold the fields to people or they pledged the fields to people. That's the way the Gemara is going to explain it. So he says, what is the law? Meaning, can the daughter who needs dowry, can she go to the buyers or to the people who the field were pledged for, can she go take away the fields from them? Now you have to remember, the fields were sold or pledged. Pledged doesn't mean the guy got the field yet. I just pledged my field for the debt, but it's still by me. Sold it. Okay, so this was Rav's question. But Rav used the word sheshibdu, meaning they bound the properties for somebody else. So the question is, can the sister, their sister, right, the daughter, go to those properties and take it away for the dowry? So, have a Yosef. This is the question that Rav asked Rebbe in between the lines. So, have a Yosef Rechia Kamei. Rebbe at that time, when Rebbe got the letter, Rebbe was sitting in front of him. Amalei, so Rebbe said to Rebbe, what did Rav mean with this question? Did he mean Machru or Mishkenu? Does he mean when he said Shibud? Does Rav mean the question was he sold the properties or did he pledge the properties? What was Rav's question? So Amalei, so Rebbe said to Rav Chia, my nafkami, what difference is it? Bein machru, bein shemishkenu, whether he actually sold the fields or just pledged them, made siyan le parnasa, for dowry, the girl could go to those fields and collect. But, ein meitzi le mezeinus, but for food, sustenance, then the girls can get. Okay? Even though it's a condition in the Ksuba, but they can't go to the sold fields. Okay? The Gemara is gonna, whatever, it was talked about before from the time of the Gainim, Zedah, whatever. Okay? So, bottom line is, Rebbe said, it doesn't matter if the field was sold, or if the field was pledged by the brothers to people, the sister can go and take away the fields for the amount of dowry that she is supposed to be getting. So the Gemara says, V'Rav, why did Rav ask the question in an unclear way? Rav just said, Shibdu. It could mean sold. It could mean pledged. Why didn't Rav say what he meant? Why did he write it very unclear? So he says like this. Imachru kamadbar. The Gemara's question is like this. If Rav was asking about selling it, the question if the guy sold it, Nichtav le'machru, let him write, he sold it. Can the girl get it? If his question was about pledging, let him write about pledging. Why did Rav ask the question? Very unclear. So he says like this. Rav was smart. Rav Tavaya Komi Boilim, because Rav's question was for both. Rav's question was for both, meaning whether it was sold or pledged. But he didn't want to ask Rebbe, because then if he got the answer for one, he wouldn't know what the answer would be for the second one. So he asked in an unclear way that Rebbe should answer under all possibilities. Okay? So he said like this, Ikasvina le machru, if they wrote brothers who sold, Hanicha, then it would be good, Ishalach le the Metzian, that if he said, you even take away the fields and the people that bought it, so Koshke Mishkan, definitely if the fields were only pledged, the girl can get it. Meaning like this. Huh? The question over here like this. The brothers inherited fields, right? From the estate. Yeah? The girl has to collect dowry. Okay? So now the question was, what happens if the brothers sold the field to somebody? Can she go and to that bought field and collect it? Or the second question was, if the guy just pledged the fields.
What does pledge means exactly like?
He says, this field is going to be for the debt. When the time of the debt comes, I will pay you this field.
But no contract, nothing.
No, it's no contract, doesn't matter.
But when he sold them.
But the bottom line is, where is it more logical the girl can collect from? Pledging. Because they didn't get the field yet. Here the guy sold the field. It's the buyers. Right? If the girl can collect from a bought field, with already changed hands, she could definitely collect from a pledged field.
But who would she collect but from?
The guy that the field was pledged to.
Oh, the guy who bought them.
Or the guy that bought it.
She
that's one thing. That's why Rav said like this. If I asked the question about if the field was sold, can she collect? And Rav answered me yes, then I would know for sure the story of pledging that she can collect for sure. Inshallah, if Rav said, but if Rebbe would have answered me no, by bought field, she cannot collect it. Yeah? But then I still have the question about Mishkana Kumei Boili. I have the question about pledging. Maybe bought field she can't collect, because they already changed hands, but maybe the pledged field, she could collect from. So I still wouldn't have an answer. Ishalachlei, if Rav sent me, the Ein Metzia, oh no, it says like this. Ikasvino le Mishkana, but if I only wrote to Rav, pledged fields, can she collect? And he sent to me to Ein Metzian that you don't collect. She can't collect from a pledged field. Then for sure she can't collect from the bought fields. Because that for sure is not logical. Ishalach li Metzian, but if Rebbe would have answered me that from a pledged field you could collect, I still would know if you can collect from a bought field or not. Maybe not. Maybe only a pledged field you can collect, not from a bought field. So therefore, achtavle shibud, I wrote the word shibud, meaning clearly unclear the question. It could mean one of two things. The mashmahachi, it could mean sold, it could mean pledged, and Rav answered me. Rebbe would answer me. And Rebbe Taka answered him, she can collect from both.
So the question, I have a question.
What?
To say the whole, they sold the properties, right?
What? Either sold or pledged.
Forget the pledge. They sold the properties, right?
Yep.
How could this girl go to the guy who bought them and says, well, you owe me money? Can she do, she can't do that, can she?
Yeah.
She can?
Yeah.
And he would have to give her money?
They would have to give her the field.
Have to give her the field?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. After he's bought it from the... From
right.
The, because she has a lien on the property.
She has a lien on the property. Oh, okay. Like a guy lends money. If I lend you money, then you sold the field. I have the lien on that field. Whoever bought it, I get it. But Rav is explaining... If I would have only written Rebbe the question, if they sold the field, can she collect? Yeah? If Rebbe would have answered me yes, then for sure pledge she can collect. Right? Because pledge is anyway more logical. If he said, would tell me by selling that she cannot collect, I wouldn't know though if by pledging maybe she could collect. Because they only pledged it. Maybe she couldn't collect it. If I only asked about pledging, so if he told me that no, then for sure a bought field she can't collect. But if Rebbe answered me, pledge field she could collect, I wouldn't know what the din would be by a bought field. So therefore I wrote it in an ambiguous way, let Rebbe answer. And Rebbe answered him, by the way, according to Rebbe's opinion, according to Rebbe, she will always collect it from the bought field or from the pledge field. Not for food, but only for the dowry. In fact, before, just recently, in fact, courts do not collect from sold properties to sustain his wife and daughters. In other words, Lucheda, there's a lien on the property to support the wife and daughters. Nevertheless, the Gemara made a takana, the Gemara made a decree, for the benefit of the world, they cannot collect from bought fields for sustenance. So the question was, how about dowry? So Rabbi answered, yes, you could collect from dowry, from bought fields. Rabbi Yechon's going to argue. But sold or pledged. Yeah. For dowry, you can collect it.
But not for sustenance?
No. That means the boys would have to somehow figure out a way to support her.
But the boys, they don't have a lien on their sold property?
No, the boy sold the property.
Oh.
She has the lien because they all earn dowry. She has to be able to bring money into the marriage. Right.
Why do they have to go after the properties? When the boys sold it and they have the money, now they can support her.
Correct. The question if there's no money left. You're right. If there's money, even by a loan, you owe me $1,000, I can't go to your fields that you sold if you have cash. It's only if there's no money. The case obviously over here is the brothers don't have money anymore. They spent it. So now the question is, can she go to the bought or pledged fields? So Rabbi said yes. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, Rabbi said, whether dowry or sustenance, both, you cannot collect from sold or pledged fields. Rabbi said, for dowry, yes. For sustenance, no. And Rabbi Yechon says, no, for both you can't.
What's an amor?
Huh?
What's an amor? Is this an amor or disagrees with Rabbi?
Yeah, Rabbi Yechon was an amor. Rabbi was a Tana. Rabbi Yechon was a student to Rabbi, in fact, and he disagreed with him. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. The Gemara asks a very simple question. Did Rabbi Yechanan not hear what Rabbi said, and therefore he disagreed with him? But if he would have heard what Rabbi said, he would agree with him? Or he argues anyway? That's the Gemara's discussion now. Okay? Because since then, Rabbi Yechanan was a student of Rabbi, together with Rav and Shmuel and all the other guys. So now the Gemara says, obviously Rabbi and Rabbi Yechanan are arguing. Rabbi said, for dowry she could collect from the bought fields. Rabbi Yechanan said, no. Right? So now the guy, Boilu, Rabbi Yechanan, is it because Rabbi Yechanan didn't hear this ruling of Rabbi that she could collect? But if he would have heard that Rabbi said it, he would have accepted it. Or Dima Leishmiya mean he heard it, doesn't accept the ruling. In other words, Gemara is asking, is Rabbi Yechanan aware of what Rabbi said and he still argues or no? Very simple question of the Gemara. Tashma, come, I'll prove it like this. There's also another weird story. Itmar Misha Meis, a guy dies, v'niach shtei bonis uben. He leaves over two daughters and a son. Now what's the din of biblical law, not what they do today? Biblical law is the son inherits everything, right? And the girls are supported by the estate. Yes? Okay. Now, the Kadma Rishena, the first daughter, meaning got married before her sister, daughter A got married before daughter B. And what did she do? The Kidma Harishena Venatla S. Isin Chasim. And she took, like, you know, dowry is the 10%, right, of the property. So what happened? A guy died, left two daughters and a son, Rachel and Leah, okay? So Rachel got married first, and she took a tenth of the property for the dowry. Okay? Now the younger sister wants to get married. The problem is the son died. Without children. So who gets the property now? The sisters inherit the property.
But one of them already collected 10%.
So now the question is, can the second one also get 10% off the top? And then the rest they divide. Very simple question. Okay? See, if, by the way, it's clear, if the guy died with two daughters and no son, yeah, the whole dowry thing doesn't make sense. Because each one gets half the properties. There's no son, right? So the two daughters inherit. Each one gets half the property and that's it. There's no dowry. Here though, he left a son. So once you leave a son, the estate belongs to the son. So therefore the first one, they both have a right to dowry, seemingly. So the first one took her dowry of 10%. Before the second girl had a chance to get married and take the dowry, what happens? Achimesa ben, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan says, Shnia Vitra, the second daughter forfeits her right to get the dowry. Okay? Now, L'cha'era, what's the other option over here? She gets 10% off the top, correct? Right? And then they split the rest. Rabbi Yechanan doesn't say that.
That's a halakha.
What? No.
Huh?
No. The Mishnah says, No, but the point over here is like this. Why does Rabbi Yechanan say you can't do it? L'cha'era, why is the other brother, the other sister, who inherits, why is that considered like sold property? When two kids inherit, right? It's like each one sold or bought half the estate. For free, but they bought half the estate. Now, right? Now, if the girl for dowry can go collect from the bought estate, then Rabbi Yechanan should hold, she should be able to go to her sister and get 10%.
Well, now they can't take the 10%. She has to take 5%.
No. Because she should be able to get off the top for 10%.
The property belongs to two people. Right?
Yeah, but from... Let's undivide it. Right? Because what are you doing? You're unselling it. When she goes collect to the buyers. What are you doing basically? I think guy bought it. You're unbuying it. Right? Because of the lien, the sale is not a sale anymore. So L'chaira, the two sisters that split 50-50, her lien of the other 10% for the dowry should undo the inheritance. Right? Yet Rabbi Yechanan doesn't say that. Which implies that Rabbi Yechanan said you cannot collect from buyers. Because if Rabbi Yechanan holds you can collect from buyers, why can't the sister collect from her sister? Right? The fact that Rabbi Yechanan says she loses it, right, means you can't go to the buyers to collect. Right? That's what the implication is over here. So he says like this. So we're still in the middle. Amar Rav Chanina, so Rav Chanina said to Rabbi Yechanan, "B'day l'miza amru." He said, the rabbis have stated even a bigger din. Meitzin leparnasa, vei meitzin lemezainis. You can take away from the... So Rav Chanina said to him, what are you talking about? Rabbi just said, basically what he said to him, Rabbi just said the girls could collect from the buyers. Right? That's what Rabbi just said. And now you're saying she can't? You're disagreeing with Rabbi. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. So now, what's the proof of the Gemara? The proof is like this. The Im Isa, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yechanan didn't hear of what Rabbi said, Rabbi Yechanan should have said to Rabbi Chanina, Man Amru, who said this ruling? If the whole question is, this ruling that the girl loses her 10%, right, means she cannot collect from her sister, which means she cannot collect from the buyers, contradicts what Rabbi just said. Not the Rabbi Yechanan. It contradicts what Rabbi said. Rabbi said, you can go to the buyers and collect. If you can go to the buyers and collect, you should be able to go to the sister and collect your 10% and redo the division. Right? So when Rabbi Chanina asked Rabbi Yechanan, how do you say such a statement when the rabbi said differently than you, right? If he didn't hear Rabbi's din, he should have said, who said that? Because Rabbi said that din. If Rabbi Yechanan didn't know of that din, and that's why he argued, then Rabbi Yechanan should have said to Rabbi Chanina, who said that din that you just said? The fact that he didn't means he knew of the din. And he disagrees.
You can do that?
Huh?
You can do that?
Rabbi Yechanan can argue on Rabbi. That's not a problem. Rabbi Yechanan can still argue on Rabbi. So the Gemara, meanwhile, wants to prove that obviously Rabbi Yechanan knew what Rabbi said, and he disagreed with him. Because if he didn't hear what Rabbi said, yeah, and Rabbi Yechanan said it didn't, and Rabbi Chanina said to him, why are you disagreeing with the rabbis, right? If he didn't hear that Rabbi said it, he should have said, one minute, who said such a din? Right? He didn't say that. He said, I hold my opinion. That means he knew that Rabbi said you could go to the buyers. Right? And Rabbi Yechanan still ruled that you can't go to the buyers, and therefore the sister cannot collect from the sister. In other words, the Gemara is a rule. I don't say it here, but there's a rule that brothers that divide property are like buyers. Achen shechoku lukuchesim. The Gemara says in many places, brothers that divide are like buyers. They both bought the property. Okay, it's like they bought it from the father with no money, because the father died. They get it, but what din do they have? They have a din like buyers, right? So if Rebbe says you could go to the buyers to collect dowry, yeah, then the sister, the brother dies and the two sisters inherited the land, one sister should be able to go to the other sister to collect dowry. The fact that Rebbe Yechanan says she can't means that Rebbe Yechanan holds he can't go to buyers to collect the dowry. Not only sustenance he can't, but even dowry he can't. Not like Rebbe said. By the way, you end up being right. By the way, she would get 5%. Because if he takes 10% and divide the properties again, she's really only getting 5%. Yeah. So the Gemara says no. Dilma le'elam le'shmile. Maybe Rabbi Yechanan didn't hear Rabbi's din. And by normal buyers, Rabbi Yechanan would agree that you could go to the buyers for dowry. But inheritance is different. Why? V'shani osam dikadavcha bebeisa. But over here, you know why you can't go to the sister? What's the purpose of dowry? She should have money. She should go into the marriage with money. She's going into the marriage with money, with property. Like this, she would only get a tenth of the property for dowry, and now she got 50%. Yeah? Gemara says, what's the purpose of dowry? She should have money. So in order to have money, we give her 10% of the father's estate. Yeah? But the Gemara says, now she's getting 50% of the estate. So why does she need dowry? She has dowry. She has dowry plus. But maybe by a regular buyer, Not by inheriting the girl's inheriting. Maybe for her to collect dowry from a field that was sold to a buyer, maybe Rabbi Yechon would agree with Rabbi that you could go to the buyer and take it. Maybe, how do you know not?
Is it not like that she first collect 10% and then, is it not like that she first collected 10% and then they divide the rest?
No, the Gemara says that's not what she does. No. Rabbi Yechon says they divide it and she doesn't get the 10%. The first one already took it. That's gone. But Rabbi Yechon holds, she doesn't take 10%, then divide the rest. So the Gemara wanted to prove that this is a similar case to buyers. Right? That if it would be a normal, the boy sold the field, she can, it would be the same case. So the Gemara is saying it's not the same case. Over there by the buyer, she has no money. She didn't inherit anything. The brother sold the field. Right? And she wants to collect dowry. So maybe over there, Rabbi Yechon would agree she can go get dowry from the buyer. Right? Why does Rabbi Yechon say by the two sisters she can't? Because she has money now. Why should she have to get dowry?
So if there is no son, she collects the 10% and then...
I said before, if a man dies and there's two daughters, there's no 10% dowry. They each get 50% of the property and that's it. It's only a case where there's a son, where halachically the son inherits everything. And then he has to support the girls with dowry and sustenance. So then we have this din of dowry. But if there's no son, there's no dowry. If the father died. Yeah, if the father's alive, he gives his daughter's dowry. But if once the father dies and there's no sons, there's no dowry involved. That's a given. So the Gemara asks a very simple question. What's the Gemara asks a very simple thing? So if the girl won the lottery, she doesn't get dowry. The Gemara doesn't say won the lottery. The Gemara says she finds something in the street. I don't understand. If that's what you're saying, she found something very expensive, which is ownerless. They could have a basis. There's ample profits to live from. Meaning she found something that's worth as much as the dowry. You can say, are you going to tell me you don't, she doesn't get dowry? Of course she does. So where he says, yeah, but here we're talking from the estate she got money. Not side money that she won the lottery or found something in the street. Here we're saying she got money from the estate that's supposed to pay her the dowry. Right? So if she's getting money from the estate that's supposed to pay the dowry, why should she get dowry? She's getting from the estate more than the estate is giving her for dowry. Okay, now. Amar HaMeimer, HaMeimer says a statement, but the Gemara is going to explain exactly what he means. Amar HaMeimer, HaMeimer said the following. Bas, a daughter who's getting dowry, Yereshes Hava, is inheritor of 10% of the estate. We don't know yet exactly what the Gemara means, okay? What does it mean? Amalei Rav Ashi LaMeimer, this is what HaMeimer said. That a girl who inherits gets the dowry is inheriting. Okay? So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Ashi LaMeimer, Ilu boy l'sluki b'zuzeh. Are you telling me that if the brothers wish to get rid of her from the land by offering money, she can't get rid of her? Meaning like this. I remember seeing a very interesting statement, by the way, the way the Gemara is explaining it now. The father died. There's boys, boy, girls, whatever, yeah? Or one girl even. She gets dowry. Yeah? Now, the question is, does she get the dowry as an inheritance of 10%? Or is it, no, it's a separate, nothing to do with inheritance. HaMeimer says, a very interesting scenario, this Gemara said no. HaMeimer says a girl's dowry is like inheritance from the estate. So he says, 1 minute, what does that mean? Okay. What happens if the girl says, you know what? I'm getting a temp, right now I'm getting 10% of the estate. I don't want to be bought off. What happens if the brothers come to her and get, okay, a tenth of the estate is, let's say, $1,000. The brothers say to her, okay, you get dowry, a tenth of the estate, it's $1,000. We're going to buy you out for $1,000. Here's $1,000. Does the girl have a right to say, I'm not interested? I don't want to be bought out. I want a tenth of the property. Why? The property can go up in value. Right? So if it's, no, the Gemara is saying, this is what a Maimer is saying. This that the girl gets dowry 10% is a din inheritance. Because if it's not inheritance, technically the brothers can say to her, okay, we have to give you 10% dowry. The estate is worth $10,000. Here's $1,000 check. Goodbye. Or can the girl say, no, I don't want you to buy me out. I want to hold on to the land as dowry. So Amemer says she could hold on to the land because it's inheritance. A brother, let's say two brothers are inheriting a field. One brother can't say to the other, okay, sell me your inheritance, what the field's worth now, and I'm out. I mean, you're out. You can't do that. If he agrees, you can do whatever you want. That's what he says. Are you telling me that if the brothers want to buy her out with money, they cannot buy her out? Because it's inheritance she can hold on? Amalei said, yeah, they cannot buy her out. You tell me that if they want to give her one piece of land, not all the lands together, they want to give her one piece of land. Are you telling me they can't buy her out? He says, no, they can't. Ain means yes. Meaning they cannot buy her out. Okay? So Amemar, and this is an interesting thing, Amemar says, the 10% dowry is inheritance, not a debtor. Ravashi Omar Bas Balus Chayv Hava. No, she's a debtor, not inheritance. Meaning, they can force it to take $1,000 if they get lost.
Creditor.
A creditor rather than an inheritor. The Gemara is going to say in a second, Amemer also changed his mind. Amemer holds like Ravashi. But Amemer holds that a girl who gets the dowry has a law of inheritor. Ravashi says, no, she has a debtor. What's the difference? And the Gemara says, Ava Amemer Hodebe. Amemer also changed his mind. Where do we see Amemer changed his mind? Domer Av Menyumi Breden Nochume. Rav Mnuni, the son of Rav Nachumi, says a story. Hava kamina kamei Amemer. I was sitting in front of Amemer. Vasoy ayitzel kamei, and this woman came before Amemer, and she wanted gaboy isin chosin. She said, "Okay, I want a tenth of the estate for dowry." Yeah. V'chazin ladaite, and I saw that Amemer's opinion was. That if the brothers wanted to give her the money to get rid of her, she would have to take it. Why? Because I heard the brother saying to her, listen, if we have money, we can throw you out with money. They said, and Amema was quiet and didn't say anything. Which means like this. The difference if she's inheritor or brother or debtor, can the brothers get rid of her with money? If she's inheritor, she can't. And if there's a creditor, she could. Then the brother can get rid of her. So Amemer said they're inheritor, you can't do it. Ravashi said they're debtors, you could do it. So Gemara says, I'll show you from a story that happened afterwards, that Amema changed his mind. Because an exact case came up, and the brother said to her in front of Amema, you know, if we wanted to, we can buy you off with money and get rid of you. Yeah? And Amema was silent, meaning he agreed to it. But if it's an inheritor, they couldn't do it. So therefore, that shows that he also agrees it's a Baal
Chayt. He agreed with the brothers?
Huh?
He changed his mind. He just sat there and say anything. Maybe he's thinking, what should I do
here? No. The fact that he didn't say no, you can't buy her off with money, that means he agreed that they could. If they could buy her off with money, then the din is, she's a debtor and not an inheritor. It's an interesting thing. You know, it says, Taisa, just we'll finish with this. Taisa says in this Gemara we see, the fact that Amemer was quiet when a guy said something, yeah, means he admitted, he agreed to it. The brother said, yeah, we could buy you off with money. Yeah? And Amemer was quiet, that means he didn't disagree with them, he agreed with them. That they could do it. From here, Rabbeinu Tam did a certain thing. Rabbeinu Tam was, Taisa says, if Rabbeinu Tam was sitting in a court case, and he heard the way a guy exaggerated the money that he owes him. He said, oh, you owe me $100,000. And then everybody knew it wasn't true. Maybe it was $10,000, whatever. Rabbeinu Tam would say to the guy, clearly you're a liar. Because if Rabbeinu Tam was quiet, based on our Gemara, that means he would admit. Remember last time we spoke, silence sometimes is admission. Sometimes silence is not admission. Yeah? If I come over to you now and say you owe me $1 million, you ignore me, that's not admission. Right? But if I'm in court and I say you owe me $1 million in court and you're silent, Besdin says, yeah, you just admitted. Right? Then shtika kaidah, silence is admission. So Taisa says, from the fact that Amema was quiet, Rabbi Menuni proved the din that Amema changed his mind. Because if he didn't change it, he would have had to say something. Yeah? Maybe he was just quiet because he wanted to be quiet. Like you said, maybe he was thinking. So from here, Taisa says, if a judge hears something wrong in court, yeah, and he's silent, that means the judge admits to what the guy said. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam, when he heard such a thing, he would say to the guy, you're lying. Because he didn't want to be quiet, which shows that the judge admits to him that he's right. Okay.